Everyone, happy Easter to you all. Awesome to be with you this morning as our Salt Church family gathers together. But also, if you're new with us this morning, awesome. If you don't normally find yourself in church, great welcome to you. If you're here for the baptisms, we're super excited. Nine people being baptised a little later, fantastic. I'm Michael, lead pastor here at Salt. I didn't mention my name before. Now, what a great privilege it is this morning for us to reflect and celebrate the most important event in all of human history, the death of Jesus. Easter is absolutely extraordinary. I don't think we really capture the bigness of it, the massiveness of it. I can't overstate how big it is. It's much bigger than our part of the world recognises. And we're going to press into that this morning. But around the world, millions of people will pause, maybe billions, to celebrate the death of Jesus. What happened 2,000 years ago is absolutely remarkable. Something earth-shattering, history-changing happened. It looked like defeat, but it was the greatest victory. Heaven has now been opened up. We now have access to God. Forgiveness of sins is possible. New life is possible. Now, I want to give you the opportunity this morning. We're going to look into the events of the first Easter. We're going to celebrate, we're going to remember, we're going to respond. And at the end of today, I'm hoping that you'll either be in one or two camps. One is, wow, I've been reminded how remarkable this is. This is a reset for me of how awesome it is that Jesus died for me. But it may be that you're still discovering these things for the very first time. And this morning is just a really precious opportunity to reflect on Jesus, consider him seriously, maybe even for the first time. So we're in Matthew's Gospel that was read out to us by Tina. It's an historical account of the first Easter. Here's a picture of one of the manuscripts we have, of the copies, many copies we have of what happened in the first century on that first Easter. It's in Greek. Hopefully you're reading on to an English version this morning. But have your eyes on a Bible if you can. Matthew 27, and particularly from verse 45. Let me give you a bit of a context here as we set the scene. What's happened? Jesus has been through the courts. Jesus has been flogged. Jesus has been abused. He's been treated like a criminal. Now Jesus is on a Roman cross. Now Jesus is being publicly shamed. We shame people online, don't we, in our culture? Jesus was shamed on a cross, publicly humiliated. The grim reality of death is only moments away. And what does Matthew record for us? He records for us that excruciating cry out from Jesus, doesn't he? Jesus in agony. Look with me in verse 45. Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. It's Hebrew. Matthew translates it for us. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, what's going on at that point? What's going on? How could it possibly have come to this? Is this mission failure? Is this mission over? Jesus, in perfect relationship with his heavenly Father, is now abandoned by his heavenly Father on the cross. Why is Jesus forsaken at this crucial moment? It all looks like failure, doesn't it? It all looks like defeat. Has Jesus finally lost faith in the goodness of God's plans? Everyone else has abandoned Jesus. Has Jesus now abandoned his heavenly Father and given up on him? Is that what's happening here? Well, come with me on a journey. I think there are clues around the cross that show us this is no ordinary death. Thousands of people were crucified, but something extraordinary is taking place at this crucifixion. Before we do that, though, what are the signs that Easter is upon us? As you've thought about coming up to Easter and the Easter weekend, what are some of the signs for us that, gee, Easter's upon us. This is Easter. It's unmistakable. I reckon here's a few. Two public holidays, yeah? How can you miss Easter? You get 4 days off. No one's turning, well, virtually no one is turning up to work today. I do think for those who are turning up to work today, serving us in various ways in community life. What's another sign that Easter's upon us? Teachers look tired. Have you noticed this? They've had a long term. They're not meant to smile at anyone for the first term. And finally, just see if you can catch them smiling today. Well, the term's not over yet. They've got 2 more weeks. They've got to look cranky. The weather starts to turn, doesn't it, as you get closer to Easter? It's normally raining on Easter weekend, but it's not this weekend, which is fantastic. Accommodation is more expensive. Easter eggs are on. Even eating chocolate. It's meant to symbolise something, isn't it? An egg, an empty egg, representing the empty tomb. Jesus is alive. We're meant to even capture something in the Easter egg. This is the world's largest Easter egg, 7 tonnes, 15 metres tall. It's just still not big enough, is it? You can't get enough of chocolate at Easter. Hot cross buns are another sign. There's the cross staring at you. This sign normally comes out about January. Jesus died on the cross. It's on the hot cross bun. You shouldn't miss it. Here's another one, double demerit points. It's not a sign that we like, but it's a reality. Beware this weekend. Drive safely. It's impossible to miss Easter, isn't it? But gee, it's possible to miss the significance of Easter. You could miss the massive significance of Easter. There's 3 signs here. Follow with me now. There's 3 signs at this first Easter. The first one is something massive in creation is happening. This is cosmic. There's 2 things in the created order that are happening here that tell us something's going on. The first one, verse 45, tells us there's darkness at the cross. Verse 45, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the land. Now, that would make you stand up and think, what is going on here? If it was this afternoon, 3 hours of darkness in Wollongong on Good Friday in 2024, you would be asking some questions. You would stand up and take notice. But it's deeper than that. Darkness in the Old Testament is associated with God's judgment. During the 9th plague of the Exodus, darkness comes over Egypt. God is about to bring the death of the firstborn sons. Darkness was part of the curses God promised for his people if they disobeyed him in the promised land. You get the idea. You see darkness, think death, think judgment, think mourning. But what's the other sign here in creation? It's the earthquake, isn't it? Verse 51. The earth shook, the rocks split. I don't know whether you've ever been in an earthquake, but it is one of those, it's just immissible. How can you miss that? The very thing that you thought was completely stable under your feet is shaking. Several years ago, I was in Japan. I was in a supermarket. The supermarket shelves start rocking. Things start falling from the top of the shelves. People start crying out. It was only 5.4 on the Richter scale, but gee, it got my attention. Something is going on here on that first Easter. And it's there in the Old Testament. When Moses is on Mount Sinai and God is giving him the law, the whole mountain shook violently. The prophet Jeremiah says, "But the Lord is the true God. He's the living God, the eternal God. When he is angry, the earth trembles." There's something dark happening here. We're meant to think judgment. Cosmically, something awful is happening at the cross. There's the first sign. But there are other signs, aren't there? The second sign is signs of new life. Have you noticed this? The first one is the curtain of the temple is torn in two. Verse 51, from top to bottom, the curtain in the temple is torn. Here is the beginning of what Jesus promised. Here is the temple on its way to destruction. Jesus said this would happen. Here is a new way opened up to relate to God. Here is done with sacrifice, done with the temple. Now look to Jesus. If you're not familiar with the Bible, the Old Testament idea of God's people relating to him, God in the Holy of Holies, in the very centre of that temple, behind a curtain. Only the priest could enter in, and once a year, and only after sacrifices are made, that the sacrifices of animals for the sins of the people. This is saying to us, no, Jesus now goes through that curtain. He is the priest, and he will be the sacrifice. How do we relate to God in a very open, in a very real way? But through Jesus, we have access. The other thing that points us to new life here is the tombs break open, don't they? The places that contain the dead crack open. It's remarkable. The place where people mourned and remembered and honoured dead people open up. And what's going on there? Well, it's so that the dead might come out to new life. It's an extraordinary scene, isn't it? And Matthew tells us after Jesus' resurrection, that's exactly what happened. People were resurrected. This is, you've got to capture this. This is a foretaste of the future. Here is resurrection saying this is the future in Jesus now. Resurrected bodies, new life, a new era has begun. No longer look to the grave, no longer look to death. That is not final. Now new life is possible. Eternal life with resurrected bodies. Is there anything more powerful, anything more significant than that for us? Last set of clues. The voices at the cross. There's two voices. The first one is the centurion. He cries out, terrified, doesn't he? And looking at Jesus, he concludes in verse 54, surely he was the Son of God. Now there's a clue for us. Here is a man who's on the outside. He's a man who's not a Jew. He's not part of God's people. Looking upon the crucified Jesus and says, he must be the Son of God. There's something more to this. There's something different about this crucifixion. I've seen hundreds of crucifixions. Something extraordinary is happening at this crucifixion. But the other voice is the most important voice of all, isn't it? We're actually back to the cry of Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? And that's not just a cry of pain. There's something more going on there. He's crying out the psalm, Psalm 22, the psalm that Tynan read out for us. And Psalm 22 is the psalm of King David's suffering. It's a psalm that actually fits David, but fits even more the great-great-grandson of David, Jesus. And when you read that psalm, it's not Jesus giving up on his father. It's quite the opposite. It's Jesus calling his out to his father, my God. It's Jesus acknowledging, God, you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are in control. You are the one that can be trusted. And the psalm ends in victory, in the glory of God going out to the ends of the earth. It's a fantastic psalm. But for now, Jesus is in real pain. Listen to the words of Psalm 22. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them. They cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Make no mistake, Jesus is forsaken here. But he's being forsaken by his heavenly Father for a time. He will be vindicated. Victory is coming in the resurrection. But for now, real judgment is landing on Jesus. Real darkness, real abuse, real scorn, a real death. Not because Jesus is guilty. not because Jesus deserves judgment, but because he's saving us from our sins. Do you notice the cry out, part of the scorn, part of the ridicule is people saying to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross and save yourself. You are so pathetic. But it's actually because he doesn't come down from the cross. It's actually because he faces the judgment of God that he's saving us. It's extraordinary love and mercy, isn't it? That Jesus would do that for us, the guilty ones. That he would willingly take on the punishment we deserve. It's the whole reason Jesus came. It's the mission he was given right from the start. You will save your people from their sins. And Jesus is determined to fulfill that mission. In fact, if you've read through the gospel account, three times Jesus says, I must go to the cross. This is essential. This is so important. And Jesus also says, I came to serve. I came to give my life as a ransom for many. And that's what Jesus is doing at the cross. He's paying the penalty for our sins. He's being forsaken by his heavenly Father so that we might never be forsaken. He's laying down his life for us so that we might be freed from sin and guilt and shame, from judgment and death. Can you see what's happening at the cross? There's a great transfer happening, isn't there? There's a great exchange happening, a great swap. Jesus, the innocent one, is standing in the place of me, the guilty one. He's being treated as the guilty one so that I might be forgiven and I might be treated as the innocent one. The Bible makes this really clear. God made him, 2 Corinthians 5, who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Can you see why it's called Good Friday? We've lost that concept. It is extraordinarily good, isn't it? That we can be forgiven. That if you trust Jesus, you can be declared completely innocent before God. That is very, very good. That Jesus pays for us. Well, I wonder, as we finish up this morning, as we've thought now deeply on this, where does that sit with you this morning? Let me give you three possibilities, three places it could land for you. I reckon the first one is you could miss this. You could miss the enormity of Easter and particularly miss the enormity of what Jesus has done for you. That would be a tragedy, but it is completely possible. There's lots of reasons why this might happen. Here's two, I reckon. One is that you just get so distracted by life. I mean, just take this weekend, for example, 4 days this weekend. There's just so many things to do, isn't there? There's the lawns to be mowed. Our home's going through a kitchen reno. I'm going home to tidy up. there's a whole lot of things to be done. You might be going away. You've got to meet the needs of your family. You want to catch up with friends. A whole four-day weekend can go by and you've actually missed what this was all about. Here's something even worse. Your whole life goes by and you missed what Jesus did for you. Can I say, even if you're a disciple of Jesus this weekend, pause, reflect, think about the enormity of what's happened for you. But here's another thing. You might miss this because you might think, it's not for me. I don't need to be forgiven. I don't have sins. I'm not a sinner. And you might think, I can do it another way. Can I say respectfully, you are kidding yourself. And that is offensive to Jesus. Do you think Jesus went all the way to the cross so that you could come to God your own way or another way? When we're honest with ourselves, we actually know we don't live up to God's standards. We don't even live up to our own standards. I would be ashamed if up on the screen was all my actions and thoughts across my lifetime. We do need forgiveness. We do need Jesus. And Jesus went all the way for us. You could miss it. But second possibility, you might be saying to yourself, you know, I'm not actually ready to trust Jesus. I'm not actually ready to take this on. I'm still exploring and I'm not making excuses. I'm being honest with myself. I'm being honest before God. And I just need to find out more. And so if that's you, we want to give you that opportunity. Adam mentioned the Life series. So 5 weeks where you just come for the first week and just explore who Jesus is. We'll have a meal together. You can ask any question. It won't be threatening. Come and spend some time digging deeper. Who is Jesus? If you know that you need to check it out, we'd love to give you that possibility. Make sure you tick on your Connect card that you'd like to be part of Life Series coming up in May here at SALT. We'd love you to be along. But here's the third possibility. This morning you go, you know, I've never really taken this seriously. I need to respond. I need this Easter to be the Easter where I go, yep, Jesus, you have died for me. I do need to be forgiven. I do want to say sorry. I do want to live with you in the right place, the Lord of my life. So I'm going to pray now. If you'd like to pray with us, this is a great prayer for us all to pray. Enjoy Easter. Have a great Easter weekend. I hope you're sticking around for the baptisms. But let's pray now as we come to God and ask him to forgive us for the first time or for the 100th time. Dear God, I admit I haven't always lived your way. Please forgive me. Thank you for the sacrifice you've made in your Son, Jesus. Thank you for his death on the cross for my sins, that I can be forgiven. I am so grateful. Help me now to live your way, for Jesus' sake. Amen.